you are greatly misled. It's one of those phrases that we have recorded from Jesus that I hope to never hear. There's a couple of times where he's kind of harsh with his criticism, and it's usually tied to not understanding the scriptures. We can think about the road to Emmaus when he called them stiff-necked, hard-hearted, because they didn't understand the scriptures. And perhaps that's what the Lord is inviting us today, to know Jesus through the scriptures, so that we won't be misled, that we will have a proper understanding and a proper perspective, that we won't seek, as the Sadducees did today and the Pharisees and the Herodians did yesterday, to try to trap Jesus with our words and with our questions, to not look for loopholes to get out of things, but to know who he truly is, and then entrust ourselves with complete and total surrender to his plan, even if it doesn't make sense. We don't want to be greatly misled. The Sadducees were those group of leaders who were closely connected to the political power of the day. They had kind of carved out their religious beliefs that allowed them to coexist comfortably with the politicians of the day, with the Roman legions, the Roman leaders. So we can assume that they didn't want to have any religious claims that put them in opposition to the leading political party. They wanted to maintain their power and their prestige. And in doing so, they became greatly misled. We must be on guard against that as well. Because the Sadducees, and you could tell by their question and in Jesus' response, they had a very earthly view of God. And their view of whatever the afterlife was a mere continuation of our life here on earth. But Jesus, in his response, elevated what the afterlife, what eternal life will be. That, yes, there is a resurrection of the body. There's a resurrection at the end of time. But it's not just a mere continuation of this life. We'll be elevated to something more. And that's what Jesus is continuing to try to get us to maintain that eternal perspective, to have our eyes set on the things of heaven, the true goal of our existence, and to not be satisfied with the things of the world. Because when we have that eternal perspective, when we understand that there's more to life than the very things that we see, then we're not going to seek to trap Jesus with questions to try to maintain the status quo. We will understand who he is in his immensity, in his greatness, his power, but his mercy and his peace as well. And then that we can be like Tobit and Sarah in that first reading, who in their despair did not hide their feelings from God. They were able to pour out their heart to him. When we have a proper understanding of the great love that our Heavenly Father has for us, we don't hide our feelings from him. We don't try to present this perfect and pristine image of ourselves to him when we go to prayer. Both of those characters in that first reading wanted to die. They were in complete despair, and they even brought that to their prayer life. Let that be an example and a model for us. That with that proper understanding of who Jesus is, who God is, that we can bring him even the junk of our lives. The part that we might want to hide from the rest of the world, the Lord wants that. He wants that. He wants to take it from you, to heal it, to make it whole. When we don't allow ourselves to be elevated in our perspective, when we are satisfied with the things of the world, like the Sadducees, it is easy for us to be greatly misled. Let us be convinced through the scriptures and by the power of God of just who Jesus Christ is and the power that he has for us, the life that he has waiting for us. Let us turn to the Lord with our everything, surrendering even the dark parts of our life, trusting that he is the resurrection and the life. Amen.